You know, many of us think about Les Paul and the sweet sounds of Mary Ford, but if it had not been for Les Paul and his inventions, there would be no loud rock and roll guitar music ever.
I've never heard whether or not, and I've never read, whether Les Paul liked hard rock and roll. I think he did to a certain extent because all guitar players like to get a few licks in. But modern rock and roll would not be around if it hadn't been for Les Paul and the electric guitar and the developments he made and the multiple track recording techniques.
Right. No doubt about it.
Those two things reached through all genres, from rhythm and blues to country to pop to you name it, to jazz.
Yeah, B.B. King and Lucille basically would not have been around.
Right.
No Elvis, no that. I guess Michael Jackson would have still been dancing, though, and singing.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of Michael Jackson's work. We were converting it to our iPod TV page at jerrypippin.com.
Okay.
And
you've got video over there now.
Yeah, right. Oh, and I was looking at the whole 14 minutes of Thriller, not just the clips.
Oh, I see.
And it's just incredible, Michael Jackson and his skill.
Now, getting off to a little bit here, but Jerry, when did you institute your video iPod part? I knew you had iPod.
It's a work in progress right now. It's getting really big. We made a deal with this production team that we're doing the documentary for.
Okay.
And they have all of the commercial latest product.
Okay.
And they do commercial work for regular broadcast houses and production companies.
Okay.
And we've got some good video already of some shows we're doing that rival really anything you see on the web. I hate to pat myself on the back like that, but I'm not really patting me. It's Anthony and Robert Miles of the Fast Walkers production team. And we spent some time today.
Okay.
On the technical end of this, this is far beyond anything that an old radio broadcaster has ever been involved in. And we're just trying to stay up with the crowd and doing things in widescreen, so that the iPod itself. The coming thing is going to be you slip this iPod, and a lot of people are doing it already, into what they call a dock in your apparatus for your home entertainment center.
Right.
And the big wall screen.
Oh, I see. I got it.
Fills up with whatever you're doing.
Oh,
we're making stuff compatible to that.
Now, are you just confined to the iPod or any of those devices? In other words,
any devices. Zoom came out with a new device this week, too, that handles it. But mainly the iPod is the big seller.
Right, and the others are coming along.
They've been arguing over formats. Now they're getting a little more compatible.
Yeah, the formats.
Our product, we were Microsoft originally with Larry Dickin. It's gone well past that. You and I have discussed that.
Right, right, yeah. You move now more mainstream. Of course, the thing is...
We don't want to leave any of the Microsoft users out of there, because that's still the majority users of the PC.
Right, but they move to the MP3 format, and
We do that, and we still do a Windows format compatible for everybody, just simply because... A lot of people don't. And of course, naturally, ultimately, it'll all be Flash, it looks like.
Flash is out there.
And
that's especially for the what we call smartphones, you know, the iPhone you know, that sort of thing. You've done some work with the iPhone. And there is conversion, get off a little bit of Les Paul, but this is a little bit about innovation. There are, I suppose, various software products out there will convert one format to the other format. So in other words, we can put your Michael Jackson Thriller on the lady's iPhone we were talking about.
Yeah.
So she can get it through, that's
her objective.
And obviously you have that kind of, you know, technology coming up there.
Yeah.
Now, and I see you've also got past the licensing hurdles, you know, of getting this stuff up, because YouTube, you know,
it's
had some problems. I imagine they've had some problems
with that.
You
have to make kind of side deals with everybody, and it's too bad.
Right, right.
Honestly. Because, first of all, that's time-consuming.
I bet it is.
It gives lawyers jobs, but legal people. But secondly, is that it really, it's not serving the artist in the long run. The artist thinks it is.
Right.
But
right.
The what's serving the artist is the old, in my opinion, the old tried-and-true formula. And that's exposure. And the only way you get exposure is through broadcast. And it really is not important whether the broadcast is internet, digital, or an AM radio.
I would agree with you.
You know, the point is people got to be listening to it. And so if they're going to choke us in digital broadcasting down to paying so much per person as a performance right, they may win in the short term, but obviously no one can afford really to do that unless they make side deals.
And I would assume probably what will happen a lot, too. There's a lot of...
And that's exactly what's happening, and pretty soon it's going to get so muddied legally, nobody's going to have any rights, because you'll have all kinds of things that have been determined by courts which are in opposite of each other. And so basically then people end up making any money of the lawyers.
Yeah, it's no doubt a spaghetti soup. I mean, when you say side deals, you're basically saying third parties that own these rights or whatever they might be.
We don't deal with a third party at all. We deal direct with the artist or the publishing company or the record company.
I see. Okay. I was thinking, obviously, of something else.
Yeah, they use third-party sound decks.
Okay.
And basically what happens is you get these companies, it's a whole lot like the health industry. These executives of these companies are making a fortune, and the artist isn't making much money.
Right.
And they'll say, like the health industry, I mean, by that, you pay a lot of insurance premiums, and most of it's not going for their hospital bills, going for the perks of the people who work there, the insurance companies.
Right. Right, so, yeah.
And so, it's all out of kilter, and it's very difficult to do. But
so,
we decided to bite the bullet and do it, and we're offering video TV now.
Okay.
And we'll do more. Basically, we want to use it as a support to our radio stuff. We're a radio broadcaster.
Okay. But, so you're actually going to also put on there, and you've been doing some
video,
this.
Some actual recordings of what we did on the radio.
Oh, okay.
And then we have some separate, actually, video programs.
Okay.
TV programs.
Oh, okay, I see.
That run in companion with each other.
I see. Yeah, more and more people on the net, that is, are going into, I noticed MTV is doing that and some others, producing various kinds of TV programs for the net. And the idea behind this is that you can download these on the smartphone. Now, what's going to be interesting, the shakeout here is between these so-called iPods and these various other devices and this thing called the iPhone and these various other smartphones, which do the same thing.
Yeah,
the only difference is, you know, you can call people on those and you can turn off your refrigerator, you know, start your car, you name it, you can do that from the iPhone these days. You know, I could make a video send it to you right away.
We used some live feeds with the iPhone recently, and actually the quality was pretty good. It was amazing.
You were telling me that, yes. All that is shaking on the web. It's sort of like the woman and her email on the web. So you get email, you can download you on your smartphone, iPhone, and what have you. Now, do you think, Jerry, as we are wrapping up here, Les Paul in today's environment, had he started out, obviously he'd have to be innovative like you, but do you think that
I don't know if a guy could survive that way today.
Okay.
I'd like to think they could. But it was very simple. If you stop and think about it, he had an idea, electrifying the guitar. He put it on the board so he wouldn't get electrocuted. Wouldn't actually do before or whatever. He brought that forward. Nobody had the technology for making multiple recordings, but he had an idea that if you took two or three recordings, ran through different mixers on your soundboard, that you could come up with a finished product that was pretty neat. And actually, the technical guys then took his suggestions, and he was technical himself to a certain extent, and developed the four-track recording, an eight-track, and then with 16, 32, 64. My God, I don't know when it's going to end.
Yeah, right, 64 tracks. Now you can use software to create all kinds of things,
right.
Using a computer workstation, you can do all these things, as the host that go into the clubs, the rappers, the DJ, whomever they call it, all this stuff can be made up, electronically, take bits and pieces of Les Paul, your voice, and everybody else, throw them all in the soup. But my question was, like, for instance, if a young man, from your area or wherever, went to St. Louis now to start in radio, his chances of getting to Chicago probably would be not very great. First of all, his opportunity to get on the KO or whatever station there in St. Louis,
right,
would be very difficult in itself, I would think.
We've talked about that before as well. If you're established, all this technology is pretty good. That's not to say that if you're not established, if you come up with a unique content concept or a program, and you get the right people to pay attention to you, you can still make it big time. So I'm not saying the world's ending at all. The opportunities are different. And no longer, when I started in radio, you had to start a little town like where I live, Muskogee. Then you go to Tulsa, Oklahoma City, and then you go either to Kansas City or St. Louis or Denver.
Or maybe Los Angeles.
And then next step would be Los Angeles or San Francisco or Chicago or New York.
And, I think you went up to Frisco, right? Yeah, you were up in Frisco.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so,
a little different.
Now 8% of my listeners are in China.
Is that right?
And I'm here in Muskogee. So it's different.
Well, 8% of your listeners now in China, and maybe you'll have 25%, and it's...
These stats are pretty interesting.
I bet they are. If you have 8% of your listeners,
the blessing is we're heard all over the world, and the curse is that it's almost 50% now of out of the country listeners.
Yeah.
And the curse there is, how do you make any money with that? I mean, you're going to have advertising people there too.
Well, that's right.
And then you got to have new technology to push those ads. In those countries,
you have to push some local products, right?
Yeah,
yeah. No, that is what's happening. The corporations, all of America, that's happening. The people, more and more, you got 50% now of your 1 million listeners you have over there, and I mean that's a lot of people to be outside of North America, and it will obviously be more of outside of North America.
Yeah.
So that means a lot for you, not only for you, and the content, but also for the Les Pauls of the world and the various musicians,
right.
The B.B. Kings, etc.
I don't think we have a handle on how we're going to handle this worldwide marketing. It is the World Wide Web.
It is that, yes. Well, I tell you, one man recently, passed away, was very good at worldwide marketing. He's going to be very good in his days, was Michael Jackson. I mean, his whole appeal was worldwide. And he's coming out, with the tapes that he made. They're going to make that into a film.
Yeah, his rehearsals.
You're right. You'll have you probably have a piece of that up on your thing then. I mean, that'll go on, and they're going to make more money off of Michael dead than they did literally alive. So,
I think they did that with Elvis.
They did. Elvis was selling more
records. In fact, today we're doing an Elvis special because 32 years ago, Elvis passed away.
Right, he did. Yes, it was today. Hey? Okay.
Yeah, 16th.
The 16th of August. Yeah, and Elvis made more money than most musicians were alive, literally, after he died. He didn't make that much money, when he was in the flesh. But afterwards, the money rolled in, and of course, they didn't have the internet. Now with the internet, any artist that has a Michael Jackson, whomever, will make a hellacious amount of money, out there,
because I'm still waiting for that, but hellacious amounts of money.
Well, hellacious amounts.
It is possible.
It is.
A lot of people do.
It is possible. I don't.
So I would encourage anybody. I think what I would encourage anybody listening that wants to, to be successful in this business, in this new world, is the first place to be able to grasp a uniqueness and trueness to yourself. But at the same time, have an eye on commercialism, understand what people want. You may be the best piano player in the world, but if you're not playing the melody they want to hear, you're not going to go far.
That's right. You'll be playing to yourself. We know a few people like that that claim they have the best music in the world, which they probably do, at least in their mind.
Yeah, we're not. And here again, all of that, we're talking about the arts. Okay, how commercial it gets and how much of a business it is, it's still art. It's still creativity, and to each his own. And what turns somebody on doesn't turn somebody else on.
Yeah, and I think look at B.B. King. B.B. King is in his 80s, and he's still touring around 200 dates a year.
There's a lot of us old guys out there. I'm not that old yet, but
not in the 80s, for sure, and not touring like VB. You imagine riding a bus up and down these highways.
Oh, I know,
highways.
But we do our share of traveling.
Well, that's right. You do. I guess you do more traveling than when I first ran into you.
Yeah.
I mean, you were more on a stationary thing,
Right, right. But anyway, the whole point is that, it's a different world. It's still youth-oriented. There's much more for people like me, senior citizen types, older people, than there ever was before. In other words, we're talking about the iPods. Statistically, people are really shocked to find out how many people over 35 are listening to devices.
That have an iPod.
Yeah.
Do you have an iPod, Jerry?
and look at well, Obama even, he raised a big stink when he let everybody know he had a Zoom. Remember that?
Right. Yeah, but he always refers to it as his iPod.
Yeah, well, we all do.
Yeah.
And I have an iPod, too. Larry had a Zoom.
Okay, well, Larry, yeah. Well,
I
don't have an iPod.
Had anything that Microsoft didn't make.
I wouldn't doubt that. I don't have an iPod, so there you go.
we have people that actually do it the old-fashioned way. They put things on a CD, put it in your car, and listen to it when they commute.
Well, you can do that. It's just like with all your things. Our broadcast now can literally be found up, at Apple eventually. They can download it through Apple's whatever regiment.
Right, right.
Apple,
that's what I'm saying.
So Apple's got up there.
We never know where they're listening to us at
this
point. That's
true. They get it on your site, and the Blog Talk people distribute these broadcasts all over the place. So there is no idea where these people come in, to get the information, and as to what they do with it, who knows. They'll visit your site or whatever, and wherever, the people in China and all those places. And that's the thing.
Anyway, we got to go here, but Les Paul is a unique man, but needs a tribute, but there's probably a few Les Pauls out there.
There's probably a few Les Pauls out there, and, you know, we do a few of these. We did Paul Harvey, we did Les Paul, and, you know, some others are coming up here shortly. And we try to, you know, get it as, you know, what we did before, the economic part of it, and where it is eventually at least going at this point in time with the technology. We both agree it's going more and more global, and one will have to be global. Jerry, as usual, it's nice talking to you about this, about remembering Les Paul. This is Boston Red on the 40th anniversary of the great festival at Woodstock in upstate New York. What you've just heard is our remembrance of Les Paul, presented by the veteran radio producer, personality, virtuosi, Jerry Pippin at jerrypippin.com. We'll close out with the many faces of Les Paul as Rhubart read his Countryside.
When you go down in Deep Ellum to have a little fun, you've got to have your $15 when the policeman comes. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them Deep Ellum blues. Now once I had a sweetheart who meant the world to me, but she hung around Deep Ellum, now she ain't what she used to be. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them Deep Ellum blues. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them Deep Ellum.
Les Paul took those country roots, added it to his love of jazz, and came up with his own unique style of a decade of hits with his wife, Mary Ford. We close with Les Paul and Mary Ford together. They may be now. I'm Jerry Pippin. Good night.
You love me, it's not abuse.